A tentative deal to avoid a federal shutdown proposes raising money for the Treasury in interesting ways. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. House Republicans and the White House have reached the outlines of a budget deal, and for the first time in 4 years, it increases government spending. The House could vote on the bill as early as tomorrow, just days before the federal government is expected to hit the debt ceiling. The Senate has a crack at this as well. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here live. Nova, how would the government spend this new money?
Well, it's going to spend it on discretionary spending in the across the federal government. And we're talking about $80 billion here over 2 years. It's split evenly between military and non-military spending. And part of the give and take here is that between the White House and Congress is that the budget increase, the increase in spending, is going to be paid for by cuts elsewhere and by new revenues.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, it's coming from entitlements, for one. The Social Security Disability Insurance Program will get tighter rules that are expected to save some money. In Medicare, there are proposed cuts in payments to doctors and other health care providers. The government would also auction off more broadcast spectrum, frequencies used by radio and TV broadcasters and wireless phone carriers, and it would sell oil from the Strategic Oil Reserve.
Meanwhile, we're averting or would avert a potential collision with the federal limit on borrowing?
Yes, that's right. This deal would basically end the short-term way we've been dealing with the debt limit in recent years. It suspends the annual debt limit until March 2017. And we're going to find out later today if this is going to be palatable in the House. Republicans are meeting this morning to talk details. Some have already been critical, saying this is yet another deal negotiated by House leadership and not reflecting what they want. Meanwhile, some Democrats are not going to like the entitlement cut, so we'll have to wait and see how support for this shakes out.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.1% range. The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve meet this week with the freshest official data on the economy front and center. Yesterday, there was word that new home sales plummeted unexpectedly. Today, we'll know about durable goods. Then, the latest on consumer confidence, which had been holding up. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman tries to weave some of these strands.
How do economists think of these monthly stats coming in up, down, and all around? Here's John Canale at LPL Financial.
The U.S. economy is more like an aircraft carrier than a motorboat. It's not going to turn on a dime. When you have something that large, it takes a couple of months.
Canale says the economy was cruising along at good speed last year. Then came China's slowdown, falling oil and commodity prices, the rising dollar, all of which hit U.S. exports and especially manufacturing hard. But Canale says overall, momentum hasn't slowed that much.
Manufacturing is only 30% of the economy. The other 70% of the economy, things like housing and the consumer, are doing just fine.
Labor economist Michael Strain at the American Enterprise Institute takes what some call the dashboard view. Lots of indicators, the economy's speed, direction, efficiency. And here's what he finds.
The steady but too slow recovery.
And that's what he's seen in the dash for several years now. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There are these official statistics, but how do you feel about the economy? Our first systematic survey, the Marketplace Edison Research Poll, asked about our personal economies. Among the trends, a lot of people, about 42%, said they felt stuck in their current financial situation. Marketplace's Noel King reports.
Why are so many American workers feeling stuck? Here's one possibility. Stephanie Thomas is a program director at Cornell's Institute for Compensation Studies.
Pay raises aren't what they used to be. Pay raises in 2015 and really for the last few years have been relatively flat.
About half of workers in the Marketplace Edison research poll said they had received a raise in the last year. But how much of a raise? The new norm for pay raises is around 3% a year or less. It was not always this way. Sandra McClellan is with Towers Watson, a global consulting firm.
In the 80s and 90s, there were years of double-digit increases to salaries, and then a recession and sort of a systematic decrease in pay increases over that time.
She says in the present day, companies are now moving toward variable raises. If you're perceived as more valuable than your colleagues, you get a bigger raise while they get less. Here's one stuck American worker who kind of wishes his job would do that, Jody Yurden.
I hate to say this about myself, but I'm kind of a yes man. Does this need to be done? Okay, I'll do it. Does that need to be done? I'll do it.
He is 34 and has been a part-time mail carrier for the U.S. Postal Service in upstate New York for 11 years. He loves his job, despite a few dangers.
I'm not the biggest fan of dogs. I got bit on the rear end last Christmas time delivering a package. I haven't run so fast since.
He got a raise of about 5% last fall, his first pay bump in a couple of years, and it wasn't based on performance.
It is all contractual. I could be working harder than the person in the cubicle next to me, and they would get the same raise that I got.
He really likes the idea of pay based on merit. Since it's not an option, Yurden knows exactly when he'll feel unstuck, when he finally gets an opportunity to move into a full-time job with the Postal Service. He's been waiting for years. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
If it's PR, it's quite clever PR. The outdoor equipment company REI has decided to stay closed for the big day after Thanksgiving. Today, REI is launching a campaign to encourage people, including its own employees, to get out into the great outdoors instead of shopping. REI is not a publicly traded stock. It's a co-op owned by its members. REI's CEO said he was apprehensive at first about staying closed on so-called Black Friday, but he warmed to the idea of getting people excited about hiking, biking, you name it, instead. You can be the judge about whether a retail-driven company can really pull off an anti-consumerist statement like this. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Beatty Jong. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.